Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
It's another hour of the program, and it's great to have you with us. We are live. We'll do it live on this President's Day holiday, primarily because Rich wants to make sure his loyal audience is always, at least this is the goal, entertained and informed in that order. Brian Weber with you. The phone number should be held for reference because I'll be upfront with you. I'm not taking calls today. 844-204-7424. Pick it up and dial Rich tomorrow. Conversation never stops on social media. You can get at me on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Hit the NBA hard in the first hour of the program. I'm not going to devote all 3 hours nor freak out too much about changes to a meaningless exhibition in the All-Star game, but it was worthy of spending a good portion of the first hour of the program to give you my takeaways, the fallout from the shift in format, and get the analysis from Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com that he provided to wrap up the first hour of the show. We'll make the move more heavily now to the NFL. I'm going to give you thoughts on the big-name quarterbacks who could be on the move, and we will ease into draft talk with the Combine coming up in Indy next week. And then to amplify those thoughts, we'll get more analysis coming up 20 past the hour when we check in with Eric Edel of NFL Media. Final hour of the program, our final guest will take you across the nation, focusing on what's going on campus. If you're not tracking college basketball, I understand. I get far too autobiographical as a fill-in host. You just want me to, quote-unquote, play the hits. But this is a personal medium, and since I already outed myself as someone who loves basketball even more than the NFL, a big part of that in the past was an extreme passion for college football. I've been lucky to cover three Final Fours. I used to host a college basketball coaches show, but I understand the audience is never wrong. Most of you pay absolutely no attention to college basketball until championship week, maybe, more likely Selection Sunday, but we're getting close. And it's always great to have someone who has such extreme knowledge of the sport, like John Rothstein of CBSSports.com. If you want me to break down the Horizon League, John can handle it coming up in the final hour of the program. Just to circle back to the overall perspective that Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com offered, and I was messing around with Kurt, but he is part of the platform that is getting the NBA back. Let's close our eyes, not if you're driving, but cue your mental orchestra for John Tesh working on Rumble Rock 2025. Yes, the Peacock is getting basketball back. They're going to have a say in terms of how the All-Star game could evolve further if the numbers aren't solid based on last night. And if you didn't watch the game, I can't blame you. And if you did watch the game and we're flipping back and forth to Saturday Night Live, I have to hit that T hard because I'm from the East Coast, SNL 50, which I did, I'll be totally upfront with you. I watched the first game in its entirety. Now, this was not heavy lifting. It's not like I was working in a coal mine. It is my job after all. And it was a game to 40. And I thought it was competitive. And it blew by in 20 minutes. So when you have Kenny Smith's young stars without Anthony Edwards, if I'm going to crush LeBron for not playing because of the ankle injury, I got to point out that the Ant-Man was a late scratch as well because of a groin issue. We've all been there, or half the population has. The young stars matched up with the global stars, a.k.a. the international team, and that was a compelling game to a degree. I'm not trying to replicate the intensity of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. I just want to watch something that is competitive, and I saw it in that game. Game 2, which I probably should have stuck around more for, I DVR'd and came back. The rising stars, if you're just thinking about raw incentive, largely anonymous team of first-year players that most casuals wouldn't know, given that opportunity, they balled out. They played defense. They tried their best not to make it a conga line to the rim, as we saw last year in that disaster of a farce of a game. And then you watch the last game, which is the one that, if you thought the fix was in, the NBA clearly wanted to happen. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. International team against the OGs, the old guys, and that was over in a blink of an eye. 11-0 lead for Steph Curry and company, and that game was billed as the potential last dance or the winding down of the era of LeBron and Steph playing together, as we saw them do so gloriously at the Summer Games in Paris alongside Kevin Durant and the names we've come to know. But if we're going to give them all the props they deserve, at the same time, they are the generation that decided the All-Star game was no longer worth playing hard in. And coming up in 40 minutes, we'll get to the reasons why we've arrived at this point. I don't have the solution for you, nor is it my job. Reading some of the advanced word about if the numbers are terrible when the ratings come in, how the league could further tweak the event, I'm hearing proposals of a one-on-one game, which to me would be ridiculous. Even if they put $1 million on the line, that's not basketball. What was being played last night in the modern context of all threes all the time felt like an actual game. And that's how low the threshold has been reduced to, because these guys just couldn't be bothered to give a damn anymore. And there are reasons for that conclusion, and I'll address it coming up in 40 minutes. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. Pass along your thoughts on the NBA, NFL, anything you want. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. By the volume of arcane references I've already thrown your way, it should be pretty clear I have no life. So after the program, we can continue the conversation on social media if you want to and kick around the notion of who killed the NBA All-Star game. Back to the NFL. We spent a small portion of the last hour of the program talking about the fascinating development that Matthew Stafford somehow now has become the focal point of what's going to happen with the dominoes falling across the NFL with quarterbacks who could be on the move and try to fill the void that so many teams have. It is an interesting exercise back to having no life, and maybe this is because I used to do a 7-hour commercial-free Red Zone on the radio program for 5 years. So Scott Hansen, less annoying, hopefully, and more actual content I would throw to. Here's pick your favorite announcer. Let's go to Philadelphia. Merrill Reese has the call, and it would be a touchdown, Jalen Hurts. So I was looking at depth charts. Again, I have a wonderfully rich social life. I was looking at depth charts just to see where things stand in terms of backups, because I mentioned I knew it intuitively, but I wanted confirmation. Jimmy Garoppolo is the backup of the LA Rams. Should the Rams decide to use Matthew Stafford as an asset and trade him? Now, again, I try not to get too bogged down in salary cap talk because it is dreadfully boring, and I was told there'd be no math involved, But Stafford's only due to make $27 million this year. Even if you share my opinion that he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback at this stage of his career at best, and I realize the numbers are big, but everybody's numbers are big, other than Jalen Hurts, because Philadelphia decided to run the football with the best running back when healthy of his generation. Stafford's a steal at $27 million. Now, some of that also comes down to the fact he's played things well with his negotiations with the Rams. He shook them down for $5 million of additional guaranteed money last year by the posturing stance that, well, maybe I don't want to play anymore. I'm on the wrong side of 35. He's made over $360 million on the field, but that's also balanced by that he can still play and certainly would help any contending team as he helped the Rams on their unlikely run to the division around the playoffs. My observation about the context for the Rams would be, yes, they deserve credit for them rallying from their 1-4 start. Yes, they're ahead of schedule, rebuilding on the fly, but somebody had to win that terrible division. With that, you get the right to host a playoff game. Unfortunately, those horrific fires blew through where I'm coming to you from, our studios here in Southern California. Game moved to Arizona, and Sam Darnold turned into Sam Darnold again, as we saw in the regular season finale, and then he got absolutely pummeled by that revamped Rams defense in that neutral site, quote-unquote, game in Arizona. So if Stafford now is expendable, if you believe this is true, and it's not just the case of both sides trying to play 12-dimensional chess, and ultimately what will happen is the Rams get a multi-year commitment they're looking for from Matthew. They don't want to continue to be held hostage by him at the end of every season saying, yeah, I'm not sure if I want to play. They want him in and having him contractually locked up and also a verbal assurance that he's going to play for at least two more years. If not, they're ready to rip the Band-Aid off now. Stafford just becomes one more intriguing name amongst other ones. And I did not think when this season kicked off, and that's why the NFL is the best reality show of them all. My apologies to The Situation and Schnookie, my dear friends from Jersey Shore. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. You can pass along your thoughts on Twitter. Hit me up. My handle is BWWeber. Weber with two Bs. In less than 15 minutes, we get you set for the NFL draft with the combine starting next week and more NFL free agency talk when we check in with Eric Edom of NFL Media. When this year started, raise your hand. I can see you through your audio device. Raise your hand if you thought Sam Darnold would be as coveted as he was heading into the penultimate, big word Monday, the second to last week of the regular season, and then everything changed. Sam woke up and remembered he was Sam Darnold. He was lousy on the road in Detroit, winner-take-all game, with the top seed on the line in the NFC, and I already alluded to just how wobbly he was in that wretched playoff performance by the Vikings. I understand it is not one-on-one basketball. It is not arm wrestling. Win as a team, lose as a team. I can spout cliches as well as anybody, but you can't tell me that Darnold took a major step back in both those games and imploded right before our eyes. So what does that mean for a quarterback who's just 27 years old? Before the destruction of Sam Darnold, that sounds like a World War II novel, before Darnold regressed, conventional wisdom said at a minimum, the Vikings would tag him, about $40 million to buy time. Also, it gives them the option if they want to tag and trade him. So he's an asset. You can flip him. But the overall succession plan would not change too much in Minnesota. They got another year to fully evaluate Sam and find out who he truly is at this stage of his career. It was hard to get a proper evaluation when he was jettisoned to the Jets and then Carolina, the NFL's version of a gulag. Now, I'll take you behind the curtain if you care at all about my academic background. I went to grad school at USC. Yes, I have squandered a master's degree to be shouting into this microphone, but in terms of what it means for this program, I saw Sam Darnold play every meaningful game of his career at USC. And while he was a fine quarterback deserving of going in the top five, my issue with Sam was the penchant for horrible turnovers. And we saw it again against the Lions and against the Rams in the playoffs. Does not fully negate what an excellent year he had, but if you want to dig deep into the numbers and scrutinize the body of work, how much of that was Sam? How much of that was the receiving core led by Jefferson? How much of that was Kevin O'Connell being a quarterback whisperer? Well, you put it all in the stew and mix it up. I think it comes out to the tag is still an option, or the Vikings come back and say, Sam, we're going to offer you something reasonable, but not outlandish, because we still believe in J.J. McCarthy, as was the case when we had that run on quarterbacks last year with six going in the top 12. And for J.J., the concerns are now he's coming back from the knee injury. Remember, he was very young, 21 years old, after winning the national championship at Michigan. So while you never want to see anybody get hurt, especially not potentially your franchise quarterback, there is a quote-unquote silver lining that he had time to fill out his physique, work on his upper body as he rehabbed, but he is still an enigma. We don't know if he can play on the pro level. Minnesota has some real decisions to make. And if you want to continue to connect the dots, how about Matthew Stafford to the Vikings? I just mentioned in passing, Kevin O'Connell, the NFL Coach of the Year, has now gained this reputation of being a savant. Well, where did he coach before the Land of 10,000 Lakes? He was on the staff of the Rams, part of that coaching staff that won the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford as the starter. Although, remember, Sean McVay is the play caller, so whoever has the title of offensive coordinator isn't that involved in the nitty-gritty, but they're close enough to get some of that shine. The rub, as they say in professional wrestling, as I channel my inner Bobby Heenan. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. What are your thoughts on the NFL QB market? Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Weber with two Bs in 10 minutes. We'll expand the conversation. Check in with Eric Edom of NFL Media. So, Darnold is the name to watch early on. And then we go old. And that's fine. I've mentioned I'm in my mid-50s. My life is over, although my life expectancy is for another four decades. So I got no problems with old guys being in the mix. We should not overlook Daniel, I can't call him Danny Dimes anymore. Whatever bad moniker you want to come up with, Daniel Jones, who might get some of the shine. I keep using that word. Where's my shine box? Billy Batts walking through door number two. He might get some more respect for having spent some time with Kevin O'Connell when his brief and turbulent run with the Giants ended. Daniel Jones out there, a Mitchell Trubisky kind of name if you want him, but at least he's not 140 years old, because the other guys we're talking about should have been on the cover of magazines in 2008 when that was still a thing. Kirk Cousins, first ballot football financial Hall of Fame, and Kirk seems like a nice guy. I have interviewed him a couple times, gracious. One of the guys who will always throw your name in there, even as a fill-in hack. Just tells you he's smart enough and emotionally intelligent enough to know that's a little trick to make people feel valued. But you saw him at the end of his run in Atlanta, and some of that may have been he was not fully back from the torn Achilles, which is going to be, in the old days, a career-ending injury. Now, certainly a career-impacting injury, especially when you're in your mid-30s, as was the case for Aaron Rodgers. Cousins will get a job someplace, because it's the same conundrum. Back to me, Googling depth charts, there's a massive difference between even the worst starting quarterback, whoever you think that is, Will Levis, if you want to go Tennessee's direction, whoever you think's the worst QB1, the Gulf 2 backups is massive, because there just aren't, apparently, more than 32. What's the number? 35? The real number is probably 18 serviceable starters, but expansion says we have to have dudes under center. So Cousins is going to get some interest. Plus, he can work at a discount after making hundreds of millions of dollars. He's going to get paid to go away from the Falcons, because whatever he does, he wins financially. I don't know what the Steelers are doing because the Steelers believe in continuity more than anything else. I'm not saying that Mike Tomlin should be fired. That would be absolutely foolish because they got back to the playoffs, but you saw how they fell apart down the stretch. Feels like they need something big to jumpstart the offense. The defense is fine. Chris Boswell, their kicker, their most valuable scoring weapon. Would you think that Aaron Rodgers is an upgrade over Russell Wilson? I don't know. That seems like a wash, unless you believe these reports that Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers have a very good relationship and Rodgers would be willing to sublimate his ego, and not continue going on the Pat McAfee show and maybe keep his opinions about vaccines and everything else to himself. But if we're just making a football decision and a football calculus only, why would you roll the dice on Aaron Rodgers other than there's the conventional wisdom in coaching that there's always one guy out there who says, I can coach him up. And whatever the issue is, and to me the issue is, he's old. Aaron Rodgers looks like quarterbacks used to look, late 30s, early 40s. I'm not saying George Blanda-esque, but you know what I'm talking about, before Tom Brady changed everything. And his body has betrayed him coming back from the Achilles injury. But because I watch games closely when I'm not Googling backup quarterbacks on Sundays, I did see more of the quote-unquote vintage Aaron Rodgers over the last half dozen games, certainly than we saw for the first substantial chunk of the season. Was that enough for a team to say, yes, sign me up for a year of Aaron Rodgers, even if we have to endure him talking about Jeffrey Epstein in his free time? And maybe it's a team like the Raiders, where he's a placeholder for just 1 year. The one thing I do not see at all is Aaron Rodgers volunteering to be a backup. I saw something on ESPN.com that indicated Rodgers might be, this was somebody spitballing, but might be inclined at this stage of his career to go mentor a quarterback. Where do we get that notion from? Does he want to win so badly, if you think Chicago's poised to win now with Ben Johnson taking over, that he would go and back up Caleb Williams? I just don't see it. So as we spin the quarterback carousel, it's a lot of old guys. Somehow Matthew Stafford at 37 seems young and spry, but here we are, not even approaching March 1st, and the depth and quality of names, even if the quality of play isn't sensational, these are big marquee names. I can't remember a quarterback market like the one we have this year having that kind of star power, because you have Super Bowl champions in there and even Kirk Cousins in the mix. I can't remember this kind of collection of talent all being available if Stafford is available at the same time. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. I'm about to check the X platform, so go there presently, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. We are brought to you by Hyundai. Here's a riddle for you. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and Hyundai have in common? I'll give it to you in a moment. Time's up. If you guessed they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. And the best part, you won't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability. Pick up through participating Hyundai dealers in select markets. Coming up, much more NFL. What should the Titans do with the number one overall pick with the combine coming up next week in Indianapolis? We'll find out when we check in with Eric Edholm of NFL Media. I'm Brian Weber, appreciating the company on this President's Day. In for Rich and the guys, right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich, I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax, and they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, It's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. I got a riddle for you. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common? I'll give you a moment. Time's up. If you guess they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. That's right. You can now buy a Hyundai on Amazon, the same place where you order yoga mats, a toothbrush, and pretty much everything else. All from the comfort of your home. And the best part, you won't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. I mean, picture this. You're in your PJs, snugged in on your couch. You pull up Amazon on your phone and start the process right there. Just locate a nearby dealer, pick your color, your options, check the price, and with a few dotting of some I's and crossing of some T's, voila! Your Hyundai is ready for pickup. It's that easy. Just remember to put some real clothes on before you head over, will you? Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability only through participating Hyundai dealers in select markets.
Are you looking for a voice that truly represents your values? AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, was created to champion the needs of Americans who believe in faith, family, and freedom. Members gain access to incredible member benefits and discounts, including the award-winning AMAC magazine. From exclusive discounts on travel, insurance, everyday services, to a strong voice in Washington, the Association of Mature American Citizens is here to make a difference in your life and in our nation. Anybody at any age can join. And you'll belong to a community that stands for timeless American values. In honor of President Trump's first 100 days in office, AMAC is offering an incredible deal. Incredible. Enroll in a five-year AMAC membership for 47% off. Normally it's $60. Join today. It's $32. That's $7 a year. Visit amac.us/mark. That's amac.us/mark. Join today. Take advantage of this special offer. That's amac.us/mark. Join AMAC and become part of a movement that stands for you, your family, and your future.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Brian Weber, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's keep the football conversation going. Always a pleasure to take you across the NFL with one of the best in the business. It's Eric Edom of NFL Media and NFL.com. Eric, I appreciate you taking the time. How are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm always in a good mood when I'm keeping the chair warm for Rich and the fellas. And my goal is to make sure the audience is satisfied. I'm going to the X platform for my first question. Bob in Indy wants to know, because I was going through teams with quarterback needs. I talked the Jets. I talked the Giants. I talked the Browns. I talked the Steelers. I talked the Raiders. I did not mention the Colts. So, dreaded two-part question, but you can handle it. What was your major takeaways from what you saw from Anthony Richardson last year, and what do you think the Colts think about him moving forward?
Yeah, obviously it was a frustrating season. You know, the fantasy folks were very excited about Anthony Richardson, and so were a lot of the draft people, obviously, who studied him coming out and, you know, saw the alluring blend of size, athletic traits, arm talent. And, I mean, like, if you took a cut-up of the 20 best Anthony Richardson plays from last year, you might have thought the guy was a Pro Bowler. Like, if you hadn't watched a minute of Colts football and just saw that, you might say, wow, this guy is a weapon. But the problem was, of course, the inconsistencies in between those snaps and you know, being benched and, you know, responding initially but not sustaining any level of consistency that I think would make Shane Steichen or Chris Ballard or Jim Irsay happy. So obviously there's a real concern. This is a pivotal year three. How do you handle this? You know, they've brought in a couple of veterans, behind him to try to, you know, shepherd him on his way to stardom and all that, but it just really hasn't taken yet. I think obviously if you add more receiving talent around him, that's not going to be a bad thing, and maybe a tight end. That's been the position I think they could probably upgrade the most. But drafting a quarterback high in this draft with so many questions at the position, maybe two guys worth using a first-round pick on, I don't know if that's a possibility, but I wouldn't rule out someone a little farther down the line, you know, someone in that middle range of the draft where you can get someone with talent to push him, but also allow him a little bit of breathing room to see if year three can be the year where everything kind of unlocks.
Eric Edelm of NFL Media, works with Rich Eisen, is our guest here on The Rich Eisen Show. Since you mentioned the top of the draft and you follow the draft very closely on a granular basis year-round, let's shift to what's coming up next week with the Combine getting underway in Indianapolis. How much separation do you see in your evaluation between Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, I mean, they're both interesting players. They've been working out together. You know, they say they've become friends during the early stages of the process, and it will be interesting to see how the pieces fall. First, we need to sort of figure out where the veteran quarterbacks are going, and then we get a little clearer landscape of, okay, which teams remaining still need quarterbacks, and how are they going to go about doing this? And how high do these guys go? You know, I think the winds have been blowing in the direction of Ward more than Sanders as far as which one might be drafted first. But yeah, as you know, Brian, all it takes is that one team to make a bold trade up, whether it's all the way up to number one with the Titans, if they're not going to be picking a quarterback. Maybe it's to a team picking two through four if they're not convinced. Obviously, New England at four has Drake May. But point being, I mean, that's getting ahead of a few of the teams a little bit farther down the line. You know, and that's going to help determine which one goes first. It's not necessarily the best version, the best quarterback prospect, I should say, who always is taken first. You know, you think about Mitch Trubisky obviously going ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. You know, you think about Bryce Young going ahead of C.J. Stroud. That wasn't a consensus, and it still isn't now. So, you know, it's really hard to say if there is a whole lot of separation, especially considering they play such different games. Ward's the more sort of athletic, loose player than I would say Sanders is. Sanders a little bit more of a rhythm passer, a pocket passer, an accurate guy. Doesn't have that wow athleticism or arm talent, but, you know, does a lot of good things as well. So maybe a little bit more juice with Ward right now, but I think there will be some teams that view Sanders as a better fit.
Eric Edelm, NFL Media, is our guest on this President's Day edition of The Rich Eisen Show. So conventional wisdom in alignment with your analysis, if it's Ward and Sanders in whatever order people want to slot them, who's number three on the QB list? And is there a possibility we see three quarterbacks go in round one?
Always a possibility. You know, even, you know, I always say January and February, things that feel impossible end up being probable or even possible by March and April. So, you know, a lot can happen over the next 60 days, 90 days, whatever it is. And, you know, at this point, is there an obvious candidate? Not to me, no. I think Jackson Dart from Ole Miss would be the one who, you know, it hasn't happened in a few years, but if you see a team kind of in that, like Lamar Jackson in 17, when the Ravens traded up to the bottom around one to get him, to make sure they get that fifth-year option. If there's a team that misses out on Sanders and Ward and, you know, comes to that spot and, you know, realizes, hey, we've got to make a play here, maybe even overpay to do so, I can see something like that happening. You know, Jalen Milroe from Alabama, I felt like he had a great opportunity at the Senior Bowl. Don't believe he necessarily cashed in on that fully. Still think he's a talented guy who goes on in day two. But round one, even with his array of skills, I just feel like it's kind of the Anthony Richardson discussion a little bit, where you worry whether he's going to be able to give you very much from day one and be consistent as a starter, maybe even in his first couple years in the league.
Since you mentioned the Titans in passing, if you were calling the shots, and I think you're qualified, I'd love to see that come into focus. If you were running the Titans, what would you do with the number one overall pick?
Oh, you butter me up like that. I mean,
well, you're coming on a holiday. Come on.
That's right. With my kids home, too. Yeah.
Oh, your father of the year. I appreciate that as well.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating situation. Obviously, Brian Callahan, you know, comes from Cincinnati, where he saw how much Joe Burrow could change the face of a franchise. Mike Borgonzi, new GM, Kansas City, he was there when Patrick Mahomes was drafted. You know, it's not hard to sort of connect the dots and say both men were part of, you know, franchise-changing draft picks with quarterbacks, and they could easily see how the right guy can make that team relevant again, right? But at the same time, you know, and even with Chad Brinker, you know, the president of football ops, saying that they won't pass on a generational talent, I'm not sure that either of the quarterbacks, you could fairly call them generational talents. A year ago, if somebody applied that to Caleb Williams or even Jaden Daniels before the draft, maybe even Drake May, I don't think people would have really batted an eye. That would have been a fairly, you know, of maybe a little stretch, but certainly an opinion most people could sort of embrace. This year with those quarterbacks, I'm not sure you can say that. I think they could be good, but having that kind of confidence is a little beyond where I'm at. To me, that generational player in this draft is probably either Abdul Carter from Penn State. You know, I don't know if he's Micah Parsons, but he's darn good. I mean, he's on that same sort of spectrum. Or Travis Hunter, you know, the two-way player who's one of the more unusual evaluations in recent memory. So I think it would be one of those two, and I would lean towards Carter because receiver slash corner at number one, I don't think you would – positional value-wise, I don't know that that's going to help you quite as much. But, again, two positions, such an unusual talent. I'd have a hard time passing on him, but I think Carter would be my pick.
Talking football with Eric Edholm. Check out his terrific work across all of NFL Media's platforms. And if you still read, reading is a thing because Eric writes well. It's NFL.com. Since you're on daddy duty, I will try to respect your time and we'll wrap it up with Matthew Stafford. Maybe this is geographical bias. I'm based here in Southern California. Maybe I'm just caught up in internet sleuths trying to connect the dots. Aha, his brother-in-law is now the assistant quarterback coach of the Giants. What do you make of all that's percolating around Stafford now?
Fascinating, isn't it, right? Even a year ago, there was some sort of question about his future and when he'd sign the contract, and it sort of came down to the last minute in camp there. And, you know, I'm not saying there was tension or that these sides don't like each other or anything like that, but you could tell there was a little distance between them there as far as the contract was concerned. And, you know, the fact that, you know, the Rams don't have any guaranteed money on him beyond this year. There is a big cap money, but he's not scheduled to make very much, at least in terms of the top quarterbacks in the league. He's around $27 million, I want to say. So, you know, from Stafford's perspective, you can understand why he'd want to ensure that he has a safety net, right? That he gets paid commensurately with the top guys. As for the Giants specific rumors, I can't speak to anything other than I know, you know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have to be feeling the heat, have to understand that they need a quarterback who can win. Maybe Ward and Sanders excite them, but maybe not to the point where, you know, you can get somebody in here who can deliver a winner right now, maybe. That might be more appealing with, you know, Malik Nabers, Tyrone Tracy, and a good defense. You know, a good left tackle in Andrew Thomas. Maybe you could forge a line around him and make it work that way. So, yeah, it's hard not to read the kind of the smoke signals happening. They're distant right now, but we can see them, and they're starting to maybe grow in intensity a little bit.
Eric, tremendous insights as always. When Rich goes to the bullpen on a holiday, I'm very happy to pick up the phone, and I'm equally pleased that you make yourself available. So thanks so much for taking the time, and also congratulations on doing your job as a parent. Seems like you have well-behaved children. I didn't hear any screaming in the background.
I'm the Travis Hunter of draft evaluators, I guess. I don't know. The two-way guy, maybe, perhaps. Thank you for having me, Brian. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Eric. Eric Edholm, who has been kind enough to join us. I'll go plural. I'm not that big, am I? No, it's the radio term. We have opinions, not I, dating back to his time at Yahoo Sports and whatever the future of NFL media may be. Eric is always going to be in demand because not only does he take the time to really get all of his information properly soars and dissected. He's got great communication skills as well, be it on the radio or if you read his work on NFL.com. I'm Brian Weber, doing my best just to take it one syllable at a time. I also am friendly to those of you on Twitter. So we had the question from Indy. I read it because I'm a wind-up doll. You have further thoughts? I just gave you confirmation. I'm checking out the account in real time. BW Weber. Weber with two B's. An hour from now, we wrap it up talking March Madness as February is winding down. It is an intriguing year, especially in the SEC. We will get you set for the bracketology when we check in with John Rothstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports. And speaking of hoops, coming up, back to the NBA. Now that the league has changed its All-Star Game format, for better or for worse, what changes need to be made in the regular season? That is coming up. But first, time for a sports update. The great Rich Ackerman has the latest.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Brian Weber back with you. We are motoring through this three-hour audio extravaganza. Thank you for putting up with me. Good news is just one day off for Rich and the fellas. Back with you tomorrow, along with the Emmy-nominated simulcast on the Roku channel. We have a lot more to get to, however. Not going to mail it in. Feel good about the first hour and 45 minutes. Little bit of NBA here because, since I have not worked this program since January 1st, slightly different clock, as they say, in the industry. So don't have a ton of real estate in this programming segment. Got a lot of time, top of the hour, in addition to the opportunity to get further interactive with you. Appreciate all of you who have decided to follow me along the way. Slide over to the X platform, not if you're driving, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. And just under 60 minutes from now, because it's appointment audio, we'll wrap up the program talking college basketball in entertaining fashion with John Rothstein of CBS Sports. John is so in-depth and comprehensive. The under-over for questions asked is 3. I think I have 3 as a possibility. John will be exhaustive with his takeaways of the battle between number 1 and number 2, won by Auburn, much to the consternation of Alabama fans. Crimson Tide, though, not getting hammered in the new AP poll out this morning. Depending on where you live, it's morning here on the West Coast. Alabama sliding down to number 4, Florida number 2, Cooper Flag and Duke at number 3. That means, as has been the case for the majority of recent weeks, 3 of the top 4 teams in the SEC mirroring the NCAA Selection Committee's reveal of the top 16 seeds as of now. 3 of the top 4 coming from the Southeastern Conference. Who says that football is even relevant in that conference anymore? That might be a bit of an overstatement. In advance of further takeaways from All-Star Weekend, and I will look ahead to what's remaining of the regular season, because I understand, if you're still hanging with me as the fill-in hack, a lot of you parachute into the NBA at different times. So as I keep dating myself, in the old days, well, not too long ago, before The NFL decided they wanted to run Christmas as well, but a lot of casual fans would get their first glimpse of basketball on Christmas Day because other than the blue-gray game, the college football all-star game, other than that, the NBA was the only thing on. Well, that's changed. So now some of you slide in during All-Star Weekend. Maybe you just wanted to check out the greatness of Mac McClung. Man, that guy has one dimension, but that dimension is incredible. It's too bad he can't play in other facets of his game nearly as well as taking it to the rack, but he has saved the slam dunk competition once more, winning it for a third consecutive time. If you didn't watch this weekend, I get it. There's another big chunk of the audience that pays no attention to the NBA until we get to the playoffs in April. So if you're part of that contingent coming up, we will try to sort out who is for real at this stage of the season. I'm not going to read the standings, but because I keep hammering, I do love the NBA. I'm the kind of guy who watches, what's that, LL Cool J. I'm name-checking another group from the past. Soul performer. Ladies love Cool James. I'm the type of guy who will sit down on a Tuesday and watch NBA TV all night long. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the handful of teams you should believe in with a possibility of winning it all, as we discuss with Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com to wrap up the first hour of the program. Undeniably, it's not a hot take. They have the best record in the West. Same as Cleveland, sharing the best record in all basketball. OKC has been a revelation. That is coming up to tip off hour number three. But on the way, I do think that we get distracted by the wrong things because, and we'll talk about this more coming up in a few minutes in the final hour of the program. While there's the ability in this medium to take a show any way you want, the audience is never wrong. So when I'm following the reaction on social media last night, the consensus is, this is terrible. All-star games suck. What should we do to fix it? Some things, unfortunately, are not fixable. All-star games, by their very nature, are meaningless exhibitions. Now, not too long ago, I remember that the Pro Bowl was watchable. Remember, they played it the week after the Super Bowl, and guys showed up. Now, the difference is nobody wanted to risk injury, but you still saw major names out there. But that's ancient history because the world has changed. Hockey, very different because of the fabric of the sport. This Four Nations tournament has been sensational because hockey players are aliens. They're just different than you and I. Major League Baseball All-Star Game has been consistent. The problem is, other than abandoning players wearing their own unis, which was a hideous decision, we don't know who most of these players are because most of us don't follow baseball anymore. So All-Star Games, by their nature, were never meant to be the end-all, be-all, and the constant hand-wringing and freaking out has gotten a bit tiresome, but it is my job after all, so I'll give you more takeaways about what happened last night in San Francisco, and we'll look ahead to the second half, quote-unquote, of the NBA season. Coming up, I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. I appreciate the company. Hang with us. Hour number three is up next.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast Network is your home. Get it? For real estate investing.
I am very tired of people saying that your primary residence is not an investment.
Get real talk from real estate pros about investing strategies that work.
I bought a house for $1 and it makes me $1 million.
You can become a real estate millionaire over the course of like 5 or 6 years.
No one needs a stock. No one needs cryptocurrency. They need a house.
Bigger Pockets. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.